Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 14th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. I will read them now. The Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living." This is our text. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. And who wouldn't want to be part of something like that? Who wouldn't want to be in a family like that, or in a marriage like that, or in a congregation like that, or in a church body like that? Where it's not about me, 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 and what I get out of it, but about us and you and them, and most of all, about him. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? We're so used to our ways. We're so used to worshiping and serving and loving the Trinity of me, myself, and I. Sometimes, even when we're right here listening to his words and sitting in his house and in his presence. Who told us to look out for number one? It wasn't him. Who taught us to believe that if we don't have our own backs, no one will? It wasn't him. Who suggested that time and money and talents are all mine? Mine to use however I want, and then to throw ourselves on the floor and kick and scream to show how much we mean it. It wasn't him. You know who it was. It was that liar, Satan. He lied about God, and he lied about us, and Eve believed it, and Adam believed it, and too often I believe it as well. To my shame. That's why it's hard to imagine anything different. What would it be like to live for something else? Much less to die for something else. To be part of something bigger and holier than myself. What would it be like to be tapped into a greater glory and a deeper love? To be tapped into it, I say, even when we're just washing floors and cutting branches and counting offerings and praying for the sick and planning VBS. And what would it be like to believe that there's someone else, someone who doesn't just live and die to himself, but who lives and dies and does what he does for me, for you? Now that would be something. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. And we wonder what planet St. Paul is on, and who's he kidding, and what would he say if he saw us? Of course, I'd love for that to be true, but I can't seem to get out of my own way. Even the things that I thought were for others, even the things I promised the Lord a year ago and the year before that, even those things seems like I turned into things for me and about me again. Just how coiled are we? Lives to himself and dies to himself. Now that should be on bumper stickers and on t-shirts, because that's how it is. every man, woman, and child for himself or herself or theirselves or whatever the current pronouns are. But Paul doesn't say here, all of us. He says, none of us. It's amazing. None of us, like he really believes it. Which is strange because he's writing to Christians who quarrel over opinions and who judge each other about things that should be matters of freedom. What are they thinking? What are Christians thinking when they quarrel and judge one another? It's not for us servants to judge each other. It's before his own master that he stands or falls. And the Lord is able to make him stand, even despite himself. And yet these Christians were divided, divided about food and about holy days and the sorts of things that Christians tend to get worked up about with one another. Is that how the body of Christ lives? But not just Christians in Rome, it's us too. Worked up about our own pet peeves and our hang-ups and idiosyncratic ideas and who said what about whom. Of course, it's possible that my way, or yours, or whomever's might even be better or right in some sense. But that's not the point. The point is that none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. And it may not always appear to be true, but Paul knows that we really are part of something bigger and holier and greater and deeper. How does Paul know? He knows because he'd seen the light and he'd heard the voice and his eyes were opened by one who actually lived for others and died for others and gave himself fully and completely away. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't treat his life as his own. He didn't treat his time as his own. He didn't treat his muscle as his own. He didn't treat his money as his own. He didn't treat his blood as his own. It all belonged to the Father who sent him. It's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. None of it was meant to be hoarded. None of it was meant to be hidden. None of it was meant to be kept for himself. It was his to spend. To spend on sinners, on poor, pitiful sinners, tied up in knots and coiled like pretzels. It was all his. For you, his beloved. For their sake, Jesus prayed, staring at the cross. For their sake, I consecrate myself. That they also may be sanctified, that they may be made holy in truth. Dear friends, from Jesus' lips to your baptism, don't you know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. In order that just as Christ has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. From Jesus' lips to your baptism, to the death of your old sinful nature, to your rising with Christ. The beauty of Jesus giving himself to us is that he always has more to give. The Son who was dead is alive again, and the grave couldn't shut off that flood of love and life and grace. Why? Because there's no end to infinity. It can't be exhausted. It never hits bottom. It won't ever be in the red. To be baptized into Christ Jesus is to be baptized into his death and resurrection, and it means that you've already died and started a new life. Praise be to God. A life of which you'll never reach the end, no matter how much of yourself you give. No matter how much you love or serve, you can never be tapped dry, because Jesus will never be tapped dry. A life that you can afford to pour out because it just keeps getting refilled over and over and over again. So give what you've received. Love as you've been loved. And then come back for more. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. What else would you live for but Him? What else would you die for but Him? And to do it for Him means to do it for these brothers and sisters and the least of them. So today, we offer ourselves to Him again. And we offer ourselves to one another again, not because we're so great, but because He's so great. And His love is so deep. That's what we mean when we say, O Lord, my strength, I love you. Not yet as well as I want, but I love you. Not nearly as much as I will, but yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So you're alive with Christ's life. We are the Lord's. St. Paul doesn't say this with a sarcasm font. He doesn't add a question mark. He doesn't state it in an ironic way. He says it like it's the gospel truth, because it is. Like we belong to Jesus and He'll take us as we are, but He won't leave us that way. Like the Lord loves us all the way down and loves to see what we do with our lives and our time and our muscle and our money and our blood. He loves the good that He does through us for others. He loves how we serve and love one another and in this house. And He loves it because we're His beloved in Christ. So leave behind what lies in the past. The failures of last year, the year before, of yesterday. Leave it behind. Put your hand to the plow now and don't look back. You don't need to see what's back there, what's perishing. Turning into a pillar of salt won't do anyone any good. Offer yourself in love to the Lord and to your brothers and sisters. Consecrate your body, your life, your time, your money, and your muscles to His purposes. Or better yet, let Him consecrate you and all of that for His purposes. And when you look around in the congregation at one another, hold your judgment. Think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Watch what you say and how you speak. And ask questions like, who can I call or visit? What needs doing here at church? Whose day might need to be brightened? Remember what the Holy Spirit says. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And also, you're all sons of God through faith. You put on Christ. You're all one in Christ. No longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You live for the will of God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Whether we are awake or asleep, we live with Him. All live to Him. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And how many more ways do you need Him to say it? And what are you waiting for? Who, me, Lord? Yes, He says. Yes, you. For you are mine, and all you have is mine. And that's true whether you live or whether you die. So why not see what I can do through you? What have you got to lose? Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living and of you. To which we say, Amen. Yes, I believe.